It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru...
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
I talk over here.
Limited. Colbert, Colbert, everybody know Colbert.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoce, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soce. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes, and we have a blog which you can read at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The gentleman's voice you just heard wearing the crimson sweater over the crimson victory.
Yep.
Because it's a tournament. They're in. So, but we guess, I guess we have to play these games.
But not, yeah.
We have to play these games.
We got... We looked real good out there today.
Did you?
Yeah, we did.
You did. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's Kobe Slagle. We have, ladies and gentlemen, we have a big show today. We have a tall show today because... As he said on my Facebook page, we need one more Hellraiser. No, we don't. The three of us, we will carry this show to victory. The tall, handsome male.
I'm two of those things.
You're all three. Come on now. Of Indie Style on Channel 8, up the street.
Yes,
Tracy Porter.
Long commute. I took the long commute.
You took the long way home.
The long way.
Harmonica
exactly.
Solo
oh,
with
nice.
Mr. Slagle. So, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing all right.
You're busy. I appreciate the invite. You do it often, and I have not, because of my domestic situation. That sounded really somber, but it's not. It's just...
No, it's fine.
I've got childcare issues, all right? There. No,
it's fine. And of course, you know, I love that you have to sometimes check with the missus to see if you can come out to play. It's like old school all of a sudden.
We're not going to go to Bed Bath & Beyond tonight because I'm on here. I don't know. There's just not enough time. There's not enough time. Maybe Home Depot tomorrow.
Between Kobe and myself and a few other people, we will throw some bucks in and you can get that Ocean Mist candle. The large one.
The big one.
With the lid. Got to have the one
with the lid.
So that's good. See, this is how it's going to be for the next 58 minutes. That's just radio
these
gold.
Things will eventually affect your life.
We've had little bits and moments. Mr. Slagle, of course, engaged man.
Mm-hmm.
And Fair Sweet Bianca is out of town,
yep.
Which is, of course, I put on his page. It means deep fried things and Pam Grier movies for Mr. Slagle all week long. I am also excited, besides the fact that Tracy's here, we have the Phoenix Rising of an old segment on Film Sociology, which we've not had for several months.
Wow.
It has been months because there is the never-ending fight for Kobe's cinematic soul. Will it be the love of his life or Fair Sweet Bianca? No, it's will it be Fair Sweet Bianca or myself as far as shoving movies in Kobe's face and saying, "Watch these. This is the battle that we have. If she's gone." And what is Kobe watching will return later in the show.
The Phoenix that rises.
The Phoenix that rises. It's great to have old radio segments back on the radio. And running helps the running game, according to John Madden. Oh, yes. So, actually, but before we do that, so how are things in Indie Style this week?
Things are good. There's a lot of, I'd say, psychological itchiness, the notion that spring, kind of here, kind of not. We've had all these things on the show that sort of are supposed to be rites of spring. You know, we had the Leprechaun is on this morning to talk about the parade this afternoon. We've obviously got March Madness all over Wish TV for the month of March, and yet the weather is still acting like it's...
Well, it's a good thing. Probably the best idea is to celebrate St. Patrick's Day and watch the tournament indoors.
Yes.
Just overall. Now that the parade's over.
Yeah, exactly.
Because now apparently we cannot have parades on Sundays. Nor can we buy cars or booze on Sundays.
You can't have a parade on a Sunday?
Why aren't there any parades on...
On
the actual St. Patrick's Day.
I don't know.
So people can get out of the park.
I didn't realize what a big issue was changing the time for the greening of the canal because
Ooh.
Of
what?
Because of daylight. They moved it to the evening this year because they used to do it in the morning, but with daylight saving time, another thing that Indiana went into kicking and screaming.
More crabby farmers.
Did they do that today?
they did it last night. But the result was, they said, the crowd was probably 10 times better than the best crowd they've ever had at it because it was in the evening. It was light out. School was out.
Right.
Work was wrapping up. So it was one of these things that begrudgingly became better.
See, Kobe, it's more than just Mayor Ballard with a thing of food coloring, dipping it in. He's got the one that's about the size of your fingers.
Yeah, exactly.
Dip, dip. All right, we're done.
In the back of the spice cabinet left over from Christmas cookies
exactly,
10 years ago.
Exactly. So
there's a whole canal with that.
Exactly. All right, so opening in theaters today. Wow, we have the incredible Burt Wonderstone, a 2013 film making fun of Las Vegas magicians. Okay. You think they would have done this, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, Jim Carrey is involved. And Steve Carell. All right. We also have The Call, which we wish, if we were calling up an emergency, we wish Halle Berry was on the other line.
There's like a substitution of like a porn operator thing. You wish what sounded like on, I'm assuming.
Looks like right? Halle Berry, but actually looks like me.
Yeah, what you hear and what you picture and what's really on the other end of that phone, usually not 911 operators. That looks a little intense.
Not even Halle Berry in Monsters Ball. It's just not. No. It isn't. So there's that. There's the concert documentary Mindless Behavior All Around the World. But we are going to talk about the potentially creepy... I gotta check with the creepy meter. That's Kobe Slagle.
Yeah.
Stoker.
I remember this now.
Yes, the American film or English film debut of Chan Wook Park, who's given us Thirst, Lady Vengeance, and Old Boy. And it's with Nicole Kidman, Matthew Good, and please let me say it right, Mia Wasikawa. Yes. AKA Alice from Alice in Wonderland.
There you go.
So, and from lots of other things. Jane Eyre, The Kids Are All Right, Defiance, Albert Nobbs, Amelia. So anyway, here's some audio.
You know, I've often wondered why it is we have children. And the conclusion I've come to is we want someone to get it right this time. But not me. Personally speaking, I can't wait to watch life tear you apart.
Indigo, is something wrong?
Yes. My father is dead.
Richard Stoker was a family man. Taken from us by a cruel twist of fate, the reasons for which are unknown.
India. Come and say hello to your Uncle Charlie.
Hello, India.
I'm curious about what happened to my father.
Hey, Stoker, what do you go by, Stroker, now? Because I hear that's what your mom's been doing to your uncle.
We talk about your living here with Charlie like this.
It's a bad habit, you know.
Sneaking up on people?
Following uncles around.
You were supposed to love me, weren't you?
She's of age.
Of age?
You have no idea. Too cold down there?
I don't think so.
People disappear all the time. Pack a small bag.
What do you want from me?
To be friends.
We don't need to be friends. We're family.
Creepy sounds.
Now, I was going to tell you, Mr. Slagle, because longtime fans of film sociology, hello, Fort Myers, we know that you are not a scary movie fan.
Nope.
And you are not a freaky movie
nope,
fan.
Nope, and there is a difference.
And what is that difference, sir?
I was just about to say, don't ask me to explain what that difference is, but there is a difference.
You don't know freaky, but you know what you can't
is
define
it. Scared
it,
versus
see it.
Is it scared versus Willy's kind of thing?
I made him watch Blue Velvet on a wager, and that was freaky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that's sort of the freaky standard, right?
See? So you saw the standard.
I think.
As opposed to the substandard stuff I want to make you watch.
That actually has the word freak in the title. Which
now,
you don't
this one, I would say this one isn't freaky. This is more creepy. So you have, by the way, before anybody gets to rant, you have two Aussies and a Brit playing Americans. There's nothing wrong about casting. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's fine. So you have, father's dying, mom, another ice queen played by Nicole Kidman. What are the odds?
Yep.
And
sticking with her strengths.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so, the daughter's kind of in her own little world, wearing all black and having spiders crawl up her leg. And then uncle, who she didn't, it's in the trailer. You just heard the audio. You can't hear spiders crawling up legs. As much as you love to break down trailer audio. And then weird uncle who doesn't blink, who shows up out of nowhere. And so
didn't know she had an uncle.
And does uncle like mom? Does uncle like daughter? Who likes whom? Who's going to? Yeah, it's so there's a lot of what ifs. So, and I will say, for the most part, the film keeps you guessing. Because it's Mr. Park's work, it is visually pretty impressive. And you have three decent performances. I can see that this film would probably, I will say, without giving away much of the ending, I think this film will irritate the mall crowd. And therefore I'm recommending it.
Sure.
But I'm surprised that, and impressed that a Fox Searchlight would take a chance on this. It's not the first time we've had a filmmaker from another country break into the American market. And, sometimes they're John Woo and sometimes they're better. No, John Woo had a few. Anyway, so it's don't go into it's not it's a creep fest, but it's not a scare fest. It's not a fright fest. I think the trailers are slightly deceptive on that.
Would you say that it's chilling?
I don't know. I don't think it was chilled. I was entertained, but I wasn't chilled.
Unsettling.
Unsettling, maybe. Yes. Yeah, because there's the uncle daughter or uncle niece thing. That's
maybe.
Little.
Yeah.
And Jackie Weaver shows up all too briefly, less than she was in Silver Linings Playbook, but always good to see her. I would say give it a chance on this. It is not every other thriller. I know we were talking off air and Kobe had this confused with the Kerry Russell Haunted House movie, which came out about a month ago and has come and gone pretty quickly.
I see a trend with trailers lately that have that dark. Now, some sustain it throughout the whole film, like you said, but there's it's really getting hard. That sounds like a borderline horror movie
and
versus this.
Yeah.
But based on trailers and how they're being marketed, it's hard to tell.
I think they dropped the ball on that one as far as marketing. It won't be the first and it won't be the last. Mm-hmm. I understand that. So yeah, I think this will irritate some people, but I think they deserve irritating.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's not hella bad.
No, it's slightly better than that.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, I'll say that. Now, I've been told to check out Mr. Park's other work, like Lady Vengeance and Thirst and Old Boy, so I'll work on that. Now, there's something a little bit of film sociology revisionism that I need to correct. Now, of course, Chris Lloyd, we heard earlier. Chris Lloyd famously debunked one of my most famous rants about a problem I had with Saving Private Ryan. Now you've seen Saving Private Ryan.
I have.
Okay, I'm going to flog myself with olive branches again over this. Now, at the beginning of the film, we have the old guy at Arlington, mm-hmm. and he's there with his family, and then he collapses, and then there's an extreme close up of his face, and then we go right into the flashback.
Right.
Well, and then we find out at the end of the film that he was actually Matt Damon's character. He's Private Ryan. So first time I watched this, I called shenanigans. I didn't actually call shenanigans. It's something else. Because I had it in my head that the shot at the beginning goes from the old man and a close-up of the old man's eyes into Tom Hanks's eyes.
Ah.
And my thought was, well, how did Matt Damon's character remember the first 2 hours of a film he's not in? Well, I was wrong. There's a shot of the boat and the beach and water, and then we get to the close-up look of Tom Hanks. So, that being said, I something I say quite often. In fact, I even put this on Mark Dubeck's Facebook page because he talked about the film. I miss To Die For era Nicole Kidman. And you have to do is Google search it, Kobe. Oh, he's on it right now. Which, besides the fact that it's a fine, fine film, it's a nice dark comedy that Kidman had with a very young Joaquin Phoenix and Matt Dillon and Ileana Douglas.
But darkly, yeah, darkly, funny,
very dark
funny.
By Gus Van Sant. It's just an excellent film. But you know, things have changed in Nicole's world, and we know. Yeah, exactly. Tracy just just made a gesture for radio, which is great.
Well, that actually begs the question: is she playing Ice Queens because it's within her range now in terms of how much she can? It's also, but these are high end Ice Queens.
This is high end on it because I thought there was a period, especially after she won the Oscar for The Hours. I there was a part of me that thought that her career went in the tank. However, I look through IMDb because I'm thinking of Bewitched and Stepford Wives and The Golden Compass and
Australia
and Invasion. We are So this is what I did. I went to IMDb, one of the hot sources of information here at Film Sociology, and I went through what she's done since The Hours.
Since The Hours.
So we've gone through. All right. So here we go. This is pretty much in order. Dogville. That's a Lars von Trier. And by the way, don't finish an evening with Dogville. As Stacy Studeville here at WFYI learned the hard way. Yeah, don't end a night like that. Am I right, Kobe, about to die?
Yeah, I think she said you were going to. Yeah, she saw that, and then you were going to give her another Lars von Trier
movie.
She said, yeah, give me a couple months. I just need some time.
Yeah, so it's a hard film. So then she did The Human Stain. That was the one with Anthony Hopkins, who was supposed to be a black guy, and we wish all school custodians looked like Nicole Kidman. Cold Mountain, which I loved. And I think I love more than other people on that one. Stepford Wives already talked about. Birth, that was the independent film where she had this boy who was she thought her son was dead and now he's back. And The Interpreter, that was with Sean Penn. That was with Sidney Pollack directing. You do that because you work with
Sean
Penn.
That's an A-list,
Pollack.
That's an all-star team.
Bewitched, you got a lot of money. And Nora Ephron was working on that. Fur, which was the photographer, I believe, with Robert Downey Jr., Happy Feet, because you don't have to wear makeup to go do voiceover work. Yeah. The Invasion, because we needed another Invasion of the Body Snatchers, but you're working with Daniel Craig.
Right.
Margot at the Wedding, which I really liked. That's Noah Baumbach, who did the Squid and the Whale. Golden Compass, a lot of money. Australia, a lot of money, but also working with Hugh Jackman and Baz Luhrmann. And I actually liked Australia, as weird and overwrought and way too long.
Hugh dumping the bucket of water on him, shirtless self.
And I don't need to hear Somewhere Over the Rainbow ever again because of that film. Nine, I still defend Nine. I love that. And, you know, she had Rabbit Hole, she got a nomination for that. Just Go With It, well, to do a comedy, I guess, with Adam Sandler, and you got a little bit of a check. Trespass, really bad thriller with Nicolas Cage and Joel Schumacher. And then The Paperboy, the Lee Daniels film, which I actually watched, and the only thing this film is known for is there's a scene where Zac Efron's character gets a jellyfish sting. So to help,
sure.
Nicole Kidman delivers liquid upon the wound of Zac Efron. And this is from the director of Precious, ladies and gentlemen, Academy Award nominated director Lee Daniels. So
that's not as damaging a list as
you
might
think. No,
it's not.
It is not.
The big one, like you said, Compass, Bewitched, Stepford, those stick out. But.
Right. So I give her points for doing something like, even the paper, you're taking a chance on Paperboy, and she's actually one of the highlights of that. She plays a Southern belle who has a habit of writing to death row inmates, and she happens to get married to one played by John Cusack. Yes, that's who I think of when I think of death row inmates. You know why?
Sure.
He's on death row for exploiting Peter Gabriel music and Say Anything.
But all death row inmates have that quick lightning repartee.
Should have been in London.
Yeah,
no.
Exactly.
But like, I really like Margot at the Wedding. Really like, you know, really like Nine. Really like Rabbit Hole. That's another. Don't end an evening with that one, Mr. Slagle. That's Nicole
the list
Kidman.
Is growing on you.
That's Nicole Kidman and Aaron Eckhart dealing with the death of their young child.
Ooh,
yeah, don't end a date night with that. So I take some of that back. It's not hella bad, but I have to give her points for still making some interesting choices, and not always going for the big paycheck and taking it home to Mr. Urban.
But as we know, Hollywood is also quite ageist. With women after a certain milestone,
that's a
lot of work.
That is a lot of work. So that's a
she
decade.
Gives a quarter of that to Meg Ryan and a quarter, you know, to however many people that we can't even remember who they are anymore because they haven't been.
Well, we can't recognize them. Because
there's that.
There is that. So,
to make John Mellencamp look handsome.
Oh, jeez. Sorry, he's a crabby guy. I know he's from Indiana, no. But
there was an article in New York Times about handsome women considered handsome versus pretty slash cute.
And who's on the handsome list? Pam Grier.
They had examples and women who were considered handsome aged. Is this a compliment? Yeah, handsome not as like an end around insult,
right?
But like cute doesn't happen after a certain age.
Helen Mirren. So Pam Grier. Oh, by the way, Grantland, which is of course an offshoot of ESPN.com, mm-hmm. has a nice piece, Mr. Slagle, on the career of Pam Grier.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's one picture. Don't get too excited. You actually read the text. I give you. What are you looking up?
I'm trying to find this list of handsome women.
Oh, from the New York Times?
New York Times.
I think you have to subscribe to the Times because they were smart and did it years ago.
Before. Oh, yeah. So you're used to that.
So
My wife showed it to me.
Well, that's good. So the other thing was Matthew Good. I was trying to figure out what else I had seen him in. So I'm going through. He goes as far back as Chasing Liberty, the Mandy Moore film. He was in Match Point. He was in The Lookout. He was in Watchmen. Single Man. This is how slightly embarrassed I am. I forgot he was the male lead in Leap Year, the romantic comedy with Amy Adams.
Whoa,
where she's looking for a guy on February. She's going to ask the man of her life on February 29th. I'm sorry, Matthew. I know you've done a lot more than that.
Yeah, he's done a lot, but still manages to be kind of obscure.
Yeah. Well, he's got his name above the title on this one. Anyway, so that is out there. All right, we are going to take a short break while Kobe looks at more images on Google, and we'll talk about what is new on DVD and Blu-ray. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show, here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Anything about either one of them.
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I could do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video. Wow, what a difference.
Tracy, are you familiar with the music genius of Wesley Willis?
Not much, no.
You will now.
Okay.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. MSoci at WFYI.org, also on Facebook, also on Twitter. Hanging out with Tracy Forner from Indie Style. And we were talking earlier about, just odd things, but we're not going to share that with you. Now, we do have some other events coming up.
That's right.
You don't have to necessarily watch anything of an Irish nature on Sunday. At 2 o'clock at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, for a donation of $20, this is a truly moving pictures event. They're showing Hoosiers on the Jumbotron.
Really?
Oh, wow.
On the big screen. Yeah, so Angelo Pizzo, former film sociology guest Angelo Pizzo is going to be there, as well as David Ansbach, the creative team behind that. And apparently, because it's available, they're kind of Indiana's version of the U.S. Olympic hockey team. Any group from the 1954 Milan, they're going to be there. You know they're going to be there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are.
Mike Ruzioni, he shows up anyway for Hoosiers screenings anyway.
He just gets in line.
Saying
he's
the Hoosiers of hockey.
There you go.
So anyway, that's going on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Club level seat with parking, popcorn, and soda. So that's and it's a fundraiser for Heartland Truly Moving Pictures. That should be a lot of fun. Kobe, cool. You are the IU person, and you've stolen my bit, so go for it. What's going on down south?
Well, before we get to IU tonight,
yes,
at the IMA, 7 o'clock, the Asian Art Society film.
Whoa! In case people don't have plans tonight, if you're gonna do it, do it.
Wait. If you don't have any plans tonight, it's okay if you don't.
That's good.
Tonight, 7 o'clock, the Toby at the IMA. The Asian Art Society film series continues with Lost in Translation.
Yes.
7 o'clock.
That's the film Bill Murray didn't win Best Actor for, and we still don't know if he's actually upset about that or not. But one of the better male fantasy movies about older guy being with younger girl, directed by Sofia Coppola. And, of course, Sofia, thank you for the opening shot of that film.
Very much so, and discovering directing.
Yes, well, she got to it. She was Virgin Suicides was one thing, and
yeah, she just dabbled in a little before Godfather 3. And
well, she had a bad rap. She gets a bad rap on that. Winona walked away. They had to get somebody. So yeah, she's gone far more since.
Oh, very
much. So what's happening in Bloomington there, Mr. Slagle?
Sunday, 3 o'clock. Amore
at IU Cinema.
At IU Cinema,
yeah.
And then 6:30 Saturday night, Just Do It, A Tale of Modern Day Outlaws.
All right. Not on steel horses they ride.
Nope, not on steel horses.
No, never. Never, ever. All right. We go to what is new on DVD and Blu-ray, what's old on DVD and Blu-ray. Actually, a pretty good week on Blu-ray. The big title for me is also one of the biggest surprises at this year's Academy Awards, Ang Lee's Life of Pi. Not that big a surprise because this was my number two film of last year, but the fact that it wound up getting four awards, I thought between Lincoln and Argo and everything else that it would kind of get lost by the wayside. Right. And Ang Lee is now a 2-time winning best director, which I think is great. It's a wonderful film about, and this talk about deceptive advertising. Life of Pi is not 2 hours of guy stuck in a boat with a tiger. It's not, but that you could tell from the TV spots. So that was really, really frustrating. The first half of the film is this gentleman who is just trying to find a spiritual path to take. He dabbles in many different religions, trying to find the right one. There's even a great moment where he's dabbling in two religions at the same time because they help him. Don't bring this up at dinner with the parents.
Sure.
And then he is on a ship, which also has animals that are being transported to a zoo, and that is how he gets stuck in the boat with the tiger. It's not Lifeboat, and it's not Tigers on a Boat with Sam Jackson. But that is also a very present. I think it's right up there as far as the sinking in Titanic, and it's much shorter and not as overwrought. And also, really good use of 3D. I don't recall if the Blu-ray comes with a 3D thing, but, you know, 3D can be used for good in theaters. Ask Ang Lee, ask Martin Scorsese, and I guess Cameron a little bit.
Well, it begs the question, if you didn't see it in the theater, if it ever comes back around, you seize that opportunity.
Oh, most
because,
definitely.
You know, I've experienced that with my daughter, trying to get her to watch movies that have affected me in my life, and they just don't have the
You're
same...
showing her Porky's?
No.
Slapshot. No, I'm a bad person.
Blazing Saddles.
Yes.
when the mother's not in town. But I try to get to, you know, convey whatever the emotion is. But I don't care how big your screen is. I don't care.
Yep.
If you're in a living room, and at any point in time you can get up and go to the bathroom, or you can, you know, the microwave
thing.
Goes off, or a brother runs through. It's, you know,
or a brother runs through.
Her brother. I didn't mean
or
like...
Reggie Bush comes running through.
I didn't mean...
we
he's
know.
A Detroit yeah. Lion now, so...
Yes, a 28-year-old running back. Hopefully, get a few seasons out of him before, like most 30-year-olds, you fall
apart. I'm on the verge of my career where they might start using the word serviceable. Well, he's
that's
serviceable.
That's the show. So, anyway, that's worth checking. Actually, so, wait a minute. What has worked in your daddy-daughter movie nights?
She's not so... dark and creepy, but she's likes.
That's good.
She's into Twilight Zone. Rod The Rod original. Serling, original. Wow. She likes, and she talks all the time. Well, actually, your wife is in Vegas, right?
Yes.
The episode where the gentleman loses it over the slot machine where he didn't want to go. I mean, she really gets into the psychological aspect of it.
And
she doesn't
moral
need,
lessons.
And she doesn't need a lot of the, you know, wizardry and tech stuff and things like that, which I appreciate with her mm-hmm. viewing habits. Her favorite movie right now is Young Frankenstein.
Excellent.
So I knew you'd be happy.
She's on a good. Yeah. Last night at the Soce House, we had pizza and we watched Danny Hall.
Oh, wow.
And my big thing was telling her this was nonlinear storytelling before Tarantino. And I said, when you watch this, you're going to get a lot of dad's humor. And she would, and not just lines that I've ripped off and given ample credit to.
Sure.
No, I give credit to Woody. But the tone and the attitude, she's like, oh, that's you, Dad.
Yeah, you're good.
You know, like the scene where Marshall McLuhan's in the movie theater and he finally settles an argument with a guy. You know nothing of my work. So, well, good. I'm glad.
She's on the way.
All right. We're all on the way. So also in on DVD and Blu-ray this week, Rise of the Guardians. That was didn't quite make it for – no, that didn't get a nomination for Best Animated Feature, did it?
I
thought it did.
You think?
It might have. No, I think – no, Chris Lloyd of the Film Yap thought it should have won Best Animated Feature. Mm-hmm. Chris Lloyd's not perfect.
That really surprised me though because it looked like – I know that Disney and Nickelodeon are – battling for my children's souls. So whenever
kind of
anybody
like Kobe
else,
and Bianca. Yeah. Matt and Bianca for Kobe.
So, but it's like it looked to me like it was going to be a second tier, serviceable. Kids are bored, go see it, and pleasantly surprised for their reaction.
That's
to
another
it.
One where it looks like it's like The Incredibles, where it's let's take characters we grew up with and make them into superheroes, mm-hmm. and in this case, Jack Frost, and oh, he's not Santa Claus, but he's kind of like Baldwin
he's
with a Russian accent.
Right, exactly,
weird.
Right. And he's armed.
And he's and dangerous. And and of course they're fighting the Boogeyman, who's voiced mm-hmm. by Jude Law.
Yeah.
So good voices involved. But it when it's less about this kind of Watchmen Incredibles group and mm-hmm. more about facing your fears. I got more out of that. So
and having I've got my children are 13, 11, and 5, so they're really at different levels of how they experience
how
a
that.
Film. And it was, you know, the 5-year-old was great until Pitch Black came around, the Boogeyman, and then but the 11-year-old and the 13-year-old got the whole point of I believe in you. I'm just not afraid of you. And then my daughter, being savvy, picked up on the fact that, well, it didn't hurt that Jack Frost was rocking a hoodie and looked like
Trayvon.
Mark Dubek had a One Direction child. You know, he's rocking like a $50 haircut.
Yes.
Perfectly disheveled throughout the film.
Also voiced by Chris Pine, so that
yeah,
helps.
Yeah, exactly. So she picked up on those. Oh, that's how they get the older kids. Cause it's,
do we really call it Dubek hair?
I have Dubeck.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, Mark. I have Dubeckian influences in my life, mostly. Yeah.
That's a style of literature I'll have to check into, Dubeckian. And, of course, the writings of Eddie Vedder are involved.
Oh,
so.
Yes.
All right. Also out on a DVD and Blu-ray, a film that got mixed reviews, but I enjoyed it, Hitchcock. With thank you, Kobe. That's Anthony
yes.
Hopkins not getting
thank
a paycheck.
You, Marv
yeah. Oh, no, he does not wear the rug and bites people. Or Hitchcock, for that matter. Anthony Hopkins is Alfred Hitchcock. Helen Mirren plays his wife. This was my favorite screen couple of the year. I know people, there were some folks that weren't crazy about the Hitchcock at home part of it. Mm-hmm. I like seeing the Hitchcock at home.
Yeah.
And Scarlett Johansson shows up as Janet Leigh, and that opens the floodgates of possibilities, as well as Jessica Biel as Vera Miles.
That's major wattage.
It is major. That's good. It's better than major suckage. So that's Ralph Macchio even shows up for a scene, is slightly odd and weird. But I'm a sucker for movies about movie making, and this mm-hmm. one is about the making of Psycho and what Hitchcock had to go through. And of course, I've always championed directors in their 50s or even more 60s, 70s, even 80s, still making films. So
how did you see the HBO mini?
I did not see the one with Toby Jones. I don't have HBO. So and I like Toby Jones just got the weirdest timing because, of course, he played Truman Capote
right.
in Infamous.
And boom.
Which came out, I can't remember which came out first, but the point was Philip Seymour Hoffman got an Oscar for it.
Right.
Toby Jones became that guy.
That guy who was
who
in
other,
the other one.
The other
yeah.
one. And he's good in it. I mean, it's quite mm-hmm. good. You know, I also wish Harper Lee looked like Sandra Bullock, but that's not possible. So anyway, that's a lot of fun. For you audiophiles, is that what we call you people? Audiophiles.
People that like quality sound?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's a documentary, Sound City, Reel to Reel, directed by Dave Grohl.
God,
really?
No.
Is Dave Grohl on the list?
Dave Grohl's on the list.
Why?
What
did he do to
which
you?
Which list?
Kobe has a list. You don't want to be on the list. Is this list universal or is it just movie guys? Because like on your list, Russell Brand and Vince Vaughn and Jack Black and those guys, Ryan Reynolds. Is Dave Grohl on the musical version of your list?
Oh yeah.
Are you just being contrarian?
He's being a hater.
what he holds up the most.
What specifically about Mr. Grohl?
I don't know, Mr. Grohl. You know?
Wow, this is great audio.
Yeah.
You said something about
enthralling.
Was it
to Kobe think, Fridays at 5.
was it Nirvana? Was it Foo Fighters?
I just don't think he's as good as people give him credit for. I don't see the appeal.
Okay. There's an answer.
I don't think he's the most gifted musician by far. I think he's quite versatile. I don't think there's anybody having more fun playing contemporary rock music than that. I think that man wakes up every morning and would not trade places with anybody on the planet. Everyone's always talking about do what you love, you'll never work it. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's ever worked a day in his life. He just looks like he's having a blast.
I can see that.
He's not angst ridden over music rights or free downloads. He's whatever.
Geez, yeah. And he doesn't have Lars Ulrich's dad dreaming him out.
Exactly. That I appreciate the pleasure he's derived from doing it than I actually do the music.
Talk about a rise from the Phoenix Rising. The fact that he got through that angst ridden thing. Had to go. He got through that. I know he was a keynote speaker at South by Southwest this year, and I heard audio clips. Was it here on NPR? Probably. But the fact that he got through that, couldn't listen to music of any kind for a long time, and then not only came back with a new sound and a new attitude that could be a moment with the Cobain thing that would just be a lock around your neck for the rest of your days.
Mm-hmm.
So have you
seen the Fresh Potts video? He actually was hospitalized. He overdosed on caffeine from consuming coffee. Now, if that's not the polar opposite end of what happened to his previous lead singer.
Yeah, that's true. Don't do that, folks. Don't tap
He's
that much
literally
coffee.
Would like sit around a studio. He'd just be playing and playing and playing. He'd just yell "fresh pot," and assistant would have to make another pot of coffee. And so they made this video of him just.
I just like to be his coffee wench. You have to wear the floral German shirt, of course, but no. So
we didn't convince him of anything, but
no. He gave me a reason.
Okay.
Instead of just cause.
Because everyone likes him.
I don't like him today.
Sold out. He's so sold out.
Oh, that's right.
Actually, he sold out twice.
Unironically, he's resold out. Right. So okay,
that made my head hurt.
That's also and then also, speaking of having a few before watching. You might want to have a few drinks to watch this one. I watched this on Thursday, and it's truly a bit on the odd number, but I kind of like the performance. It's called This Must Be the Place. This is the film. It's two films in one. This is the one starring Sean Penn as a goth rocker who's been retired for 20 years. Now, and of course, the look of him, it's kind of, I don't know, Marilyn Manson, Joy Division, kind of all black, really back, long black stringy hair, and the bad makeup. And he's retired in Dublin, of all places. Hmm. And just one, and the look is something that, you know, Entertainment Weekly would have put in their magazine and did a what, you know.
Yeah, what happened?
What happened? What does that look? So he's living there with his wife, Frances McDormand. Way to go.
Yeah.
And so it's him just kind of day-to-day existence in Dublin. I think it's a co-Irish production. That's why he's
well,
there.
Well, that's a good – it's St. Patrick's Day this weekend. I mean, that's a
– It's really not an Irish film per se. But then the second half of the film, he finds out his dad, who he hasn't seen in 30 years, hasn't spoken in 30 years, has died. So he goes back to the United States and finds out that his dad was a survivor of the Holocaust. And old retired goth rocker Sean Penn turns into Nazi hunter.
Whoa.
Exactly. It's a bit of a shift from first to third
gear.
It is two films. And it's just odd enough. And Penn is good. I mean, Penn's got a character. He's committed. And it's just kind of quiet, introverted. There's a David Byrne cameo with his weird musical instrument that's made up of a piano and an entire building. I saw it on CBS Sunday morning. But anyway, odd performance. give points for Shaun of the Dead. There's a reason why like it hardly went to theaters. I understand that, but it's uniquely weird, so go check it
out. So I couldn't pull it when my mother-in-law visits, who's originally from Dublin. And she said, hey, you'll see scenes you'll recognize. Yeah, let's watch this.
Him wandering around. You see the giant looks like the clear stadium. It looks like a kidney bean.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's – I know that's –
Dublin's great to maintain your goth-like pale –
Oh, most definitely. You know what? The Commitments. That's the other thing you can watch over the weekend. Irish soul band. So, all right. We got old titles on Blu-ray. So, did you ever see, Mr. Slagle, I'm testing your age. Did you ever see Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Nope.
That's out on Blu-ray.
Daughter loved it. After I explained to her this was before.
A lot of CG.
Yeah. Before really pale people sat in dark rooms on big computer screens and made everything happen.
This was back when Kathleen Turner looked like a woman.
Yep.
And sounded like a woman. So talking about odd things that the child watches. Emma's obsessed with Friends. So now I'm getting a lot of questions about pop culture from the 90s. And she, unfortunately, her introduction to Kathleen Turner was being Chandler's mom. And I was like, oh, no, I have to tell you, you're not old enough for Body Heat, so
no,
I can't show
no,
you that.
No, but yeah. My daughter's the same way with Big Bang Theory, so she's discovering superheroes and other pop culture references that...
I've been told Penny is not allowed to come to our house. I've been told that lots of times.
Lots of times.
By both women. Anyway, So Who Framed Roger Rabbit is out. Willow, the Ron Howard fantasy movie with... Yep, Warwick
this
Davis.
This is just a whole list for him to.
This is stuff.
This is stuff.
This, you know what it is? This is the stuff. And Val Kilmer when he was thin. And
well,
Joey
Willow.
Wally.
Willow is
Ron
the,
Howard.
The Ring.
Yeah, before
trilogy
Lord of the Rings.
Before, yeah,
yeah, it is, and shorter and in length of film length. Sorry, Warwick Davis, come beat me. So then now we have a lot of apparently it was this week. You know, there's one of the titles, whether it's Warner Brothers or Sony, or they'll just unload a bunch of old titles out on Blu-ray. Maybe you have double feature. You can in case you need these, you can get Mulan 1 and 2.
Oh, that's
Hunchback 1 and 2, and Brother Bear 1 and 2.
I need those.
There are two of those?
Yes, yeah. There was a period where Disney was making straight-to-DVD sequels, and then they much to their credit, finally said, you know, I think they had somebody new in charge. And we're going to stop making these crappy movies. So, but, you know, if you got to
reload because your children don't know how to properly handle
if your kid's
DVDs.
A completist, yeah, that's true. So that's there.
Plus, it's a gateway to Bob and Doug McKenzie and Brother Bear.
That's right. I forgot about that. I thought Hamlet was the gateway to... Strange Brew.
That works too.
So now for Criterion, we have the Fritz Lang film Ministry of Fear. And I love that when you think Criterion, of course, you think of, you know, the huge avant-garde, foreign, monumental. Every now and then they throw you a curveball like, you know, RoboCop and Armageddon and The Rock, the Michael Bay film, not the Dwayne Johnson story. But this week, Criterion has put out the 1958 Steve McQueen original, The Blob.
Really?
Yes. Kobe, you might want to check. It's 50s horror, so you're not going to get too freaked out. It's a blob. It comes in space, and it gets all over you, and it goes through the movie theater.
It's Steve McQueen.
It's Steve McQueen.
It's Beach Grove's Steve McQueen.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of the pinnacle 1950s monster movies. No response. All right. You're checking it out?
Yeah.
You're checking to see if it's too freaky?
It's not.
It's
quality camp. I don't like scary movies at all, but it is. How in the world are you afraid of that thing? You
know, we're gathering a list of people who also don't like. So you're in good company. You're not bad company. You're in good company. You have Kobe, Tracy, and Robert Irvine. Robert does not like scary movies either. So the three of you,
regular film sociology contributor Robert Irvine,
you'll need a stack of books to stand on, but you can hang out with Robert and Tracy.
That's not.
I know he's used
Robert
to it.
Robert doesn't seem to me to be afraid of anything.
He is not. I've asked
I had guns
he's,
like that.
He's
I've,
not a
I've scary,
scary
movie.
So. He's not scary. He's afraid of no salt and pepper on your food, not knowing your food cost. Anyway, also out on DVD. Apparently this week it's Warner Brothers' turn to just unleash a bunch of stuff. So you can get on one Blu-ray Ben-Hur and the Ten Commandments.
Wow.
For you, that's a lot of movie.
But Easter's coming.
That's true. So there's that.
Still a point of viewing on Sunday nights.
Yep.
Not on my station.
Casablanca and nice. Casablanca and the African Queen. Good double feature. Now, of course, I don't know if these come with the special features. I'm doubting it because they're cramming two movies onto a single disc.
Sure.
So there's that. Saturday Night Fever and Grease. Bianca's a fan of Grease, isn't she?
I think she has it. She has it.
Great. Yeah. I have to bring her in and talk to her. But by the way, we're still waiting for a response. I know she's out of town, but yeah, we need to get a Twilight response from the Twilight correspondent that is your fiance. Green Mile and Forrest Gump. A lot of Tom Hanks.
Yeah, that's. Yep.
And Michael Clark Duncan giving you a check.
I'll watch any movie that Barry Pepper's in.
Really?
I got a weird thing. He's your guy. He's little. He's always got those great intense. Saving Private Ryan. I mean that sniper role is incredible. Yeah. No.
Okay.
Bad prosthetic nose at all. It was still. I'm like, that's Barry Pepper under that.
It is Barry Pepper.
I haven't seen Battlefield Earth though. He's in.
Wait,
draw the line.
Really? No, that's get a 12-pack and watch when wife's not home. Bad.
Okay.
Yeah, that's bad.
I have that up.
Do we have that now for the audio? That's good. Disclosure and Fatal Attraction. Michael Douglas getting ready for see him. Can't wait to see him as Liberace. Can't wait.
That's going to
be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Gladiator and Troy, as if Ben-Hur wasn't enough for you. Gore Vidal fantasy right there.
Troy, which Brad Pitt worked out almost exclusively on his legs.
Yeah,
because
he's
a spindly legged little mucket, and he wasn't going to build up.
He needed that when he flies in the air and stabs you at the same time.
He had to have. He didn't have. He had jeans on in Thelma and Louise because he's a little chicken leg Brad Pitt.
I think is
anything I could do to bash the legend.
Wow, I think as Jesse Ventura once said, Brad needed to sue his legs for non-support.
That's right.
So. Yes, that's right. We also do old wrestling quotes here at Film Sociology.
That was a political quote.
Yeah, that's right. Dirty Dozen and the Green Berets. So you get one great action film and a pro-war film directed by John Wayne. So there's that. Cats and Dogs 1 and 2 if you need that. Happy Feet 1 and 2 if you need that. Notice how we're starting to drift a little on the list here. Does anybody need Losers and Jonah Hex?
No.
I don't think even Josh Brolin needs Jonah Hex.
No, I don't think so.
No, A Time to Kill and The Pelican Brief for you Grisham fans. You know what those are, Kobe? Potboilers.
Wow.
And both versions, 1981 and the 2010 version of Clash of the Titans.
I saw
Harryhausen.
I saw the original in the theater.
As did
and
I. Laurence Olivier get a big check.
At the time, it was, we're gonna talk about actors getting big checks at the end of their careers, right?
But that's
one when it's on, I show my daughter. I'm like, no computers, sweetie. They had to, you know.
Yes, true. And I remember.
Mechanical owl or whatever was flying around.
And Ursula Andress.
Yes.
But there is a shot. The Wonders of Pause. I remember renting the DVD of the original Clash of the Titans, and there is a scene where everything is going to hell in a handbag, and there's a guy running, and he's wearing blue gym shorts under his toga. It was like, you didn't see it maybe at the Genesee Valley Theater in Flint, Michigan when it happened, and maybe your pause on your Betamax isn't all that great, but you know what, DVD pausing?
Yeah.
Boom,
that's
there
nailed.
It is.
That's nailed.
That's a great gaff.
That's
so,
great.
Oh, what else? A Crazy Stupid Love and Dinner for Schmucks on one DVD. Yeah, I know.
Start your coaster set, your Adam Sandler
coaster set. Yes. you just timed it right. Sex in the City 1 and 2.
Oh.
Four Brothers and Shooter, for you Mark Wahlberg fans out there. Yep. And then, we have a couple more notes. We have the MGM Hitchcock Classic Collection, Notorious, Rebecca, and Spellbound. That's a good trio right there.
That's, yeah.
That's almost as good as us. It's a good trio. Almost. And then on Twilight Time Blu-ray, John Carpenter. One by John Carpenter and the other by Brian De Palma. Christine, everyone's favorite killer car from 1984, and The Fury. Which was Brian De Palma film, guess what, involves telekinesis. That's the one with Kirk Douglas. Kirk Douglas action star in the late 70s, and the villain in that was John Cassavetes.
Oh, well,
I think
you
it
can't
was
go wrong with
Susan
that.
Day, I believe, was one of the girls, Not Nancy Allen. Who was Amy Irving?
Okay,
that's it. So yes, yeah, so this was.
So that's post Partridge, pre.
I think
LA
it was
Law,
actually I think it might have been Amy Irving.
Amy Irving. Okay.
Could you check, Kobe? Would you check the Fury on IMDb, please?
Absolutely. While we
not Fury, not the television series about the Black Horse,
and not the Fritz Lang film starring Spencer Tracy from the 30s. But I think it's, yeah, the Fury.
And not the minor league hockey team, the Muskegon Fury. We're being very specific here. There's a lot of
I
Fury
love
references.
Minor league sports teams.
There you is just a said team. not 1978 Kirk
yes,
Douglas.
Yes, that one.
Yes, 78 Kirk Douglas.
1978 Kirk. Yeah, because Kirk, because it was weird, he was a leading action hero in that and Saturn III, where he got to be married to Farrah Fawcett in 1979.
But they don't need way as
to,
big a check.
Way to go, yeah. Kirk. And, of course, my favorite story is was Michael tells the story. Anytime Kirk calls the house and he picks up and Kirk says, I don't want to talk to you. Way to go, Pops. So do you have a cast list there?
Yep.
Go through it. Kirk Douglas, John Cassavetes.
Kerry Snodgrass, Charles Durning, Amy Charles Irving, Durning.
Amy
Bill
Irving.
Lewis,
yep, you're right. Nail it.
Okay. Andrew Stevens, Carol E. Rawson.
Boy, that's a 70s cast if Charles there ever was Durning, one.
Yeah. Ritanya Alda, Joyce Easton, William Finley. Want me to keep going?
No.
Okay.
That's fine. All right. do we have the Dead People intro?
Oh, yeah.
Do we have that?
Yeah. Hang on.
So there's plenty out there on Blu-ray for you to go check out.
Now, that is a lot. Is that just like, is that a spring cleaning for?
Apparently
that,
it
just,
is.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. They want you to fill up the DVD shelves at Half Price Books, apparently.
There you go.
So do we have a celebrity? Do we have the Hollywood Open?
The annual show of dead people we like.
There's a pretty big one this week.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Yes.
Now, of course, we are pro horror show host here at WFYI. Mm. And we just need to raise a glass for this guy, which I have to check with Abdul Hakim Shabazz, our Chicago correspondent. Our corporate office here at Film Social is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've just...
It's a wide net.
It is a wide net. So, Marty McNeely, who was an anchor at WGN and was also host of Creature Features, was just died at the age of 86. And let's see, it says, I love this. He worked at Channel 9 in the 70s and 80s in the news as a staff announcer. This is from the Chicago Sun-Times. He hosted the late-night news program Night Beat, which was broadcast after midnight and featured Dave Brubeck's Take 5 as his theme music until Dave Brubeck wanted to get paid for having his music on TV. Way to go. But anyway, this is...
He went Lars Ulrich on him.
He's much nicer than Lars and Dave's dead. So anyway, here is the intro for Creature Features.
Gruesome ghouls and grisly ghosts, wretched souls and cursed hosts, vampires bite and villains creep, demons scream and shadows sleep. Blood runs cold in every man. Fog rolls in and coffins slam. Mortals quake and full moon rise. Creatures haunt and terrorize.
That would have worked
good.
On that would have worked on Thriller.
I think so. And for you trivia buffs, the music that is used under, that is Henry Mancini's Experiment in Terror. That was a early 60s thriller with Lee Remick, and Glenn Ford. And I always remember because this was the first piece of music I ever played on Stolen Moments, which you can hear on Sundays. All right. The other reason why I have Tracy here is because you gave me
You need a ride home.
I do not need a ride home. We're not those Hellraisers. But you gave me one of the fastest and most enjoyable reads of a book that I've had in a long, long time.
Well, thank you.
And it's a book called Hellraisers. I'm going to get I'm going to get it wrong, but I would go with it. But it's the Life in Inebriated Times of Richard Burton, Richard Harris, Peter O'Toole, and Oliver Reed. I know Ollie's last name is going to punch me for it,
I read it in a day and a half. My wife was at a conference in Tennessee, and I had nothing to do with the hotel today. And I just said, well, my brother gave me the book. I thought, I'll just start reading it. And that's all I did.
and that's all you needed, really.
Oh, my God. It was a fabulous day and a half.
It is an incredible, fascinating read about the debauchery times of four of the biggest actors at one time in the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, and well into the – well, and Peter's still around. He won the bet.
Exactly.
I'm sure there's a case of scotch somewhere.
Well, maybe, unless –
it's like
unless,
that episode of MASH.
Unless,
but,
exactly. They had a tontine, yes. Unless Oliver Reed got a hold of it before. Even if some of the stories are exaggerated,
which I'm sure they will,
you can take 25% off the top, and it far exceeds any existence that any actors today could possibly conceivably have.
As Brian G. Hartz, who's also been on the show as well, he made a point. Oliver Reed makes Charlie Sheen look like a pansy.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, I said, I think Charlie Sheen's worst day would be called Sunday Tea Time for Oliver Reed.
Exactly. So I'm reading about a Twitter fight between Alec Baldwin and Shia LaBeouf this week, and that's passing for, sizzling. You know.
Not getting a tattoo on a certain part of your body. They really have no business having a tattoo on. And this is the same guy that I believe had that drank for 24 hours straight.
Yep. To ride his horse in his house.
Yes, he would. And Richard
hung with Keith Moon. I mean,
operative word there.
Hung. Yeah, I mean, was like not trying to keep up with, stayed with.
Stayed with Keith Moon. Yeah, that's a scary thing. And Richard Harris, who, you know, had to read the papers the next morning to find out what he did. Burton. And of course, Burton's kind of the fantasy of that you are hard drinking and that you could recite Shakespeare and be with somebody like Elizabeth Taylor. It doesn't always work that way. So because of that, we go into the archives where, you know, you can buy a movie online. You don't buy them in stores, or as Kobe likes to put it.
Yeah, I'll burn it for like $5.
Only $20 if you're Warner Brothers. We go to 1976, the Oliver Reed film The Sellout, which stars him as a double agent hiding out in Israel. Now, this is the odd thing. Do they allow liquor in Israel? It's not Iran. Right, I know that.
It's like in Indiana, not on Sunday.
Okay, it's great. Well, he's hiding out in Israel, and he's at the home. He winds up hanging out at the home of his old friend and mentor, played by Richard Widmark, who also knew his way around a tavern or two. And of course, Richard Widmark is there with his wife, the visually stunning 1970s Gail Honeycutt, aka the mom in Targets. I know, but. But anyway, so there's a lot of who's going to double cross who? Oliver Reed used to be with Gail Honeycutt. Now she's with Richard Widmark, and you can't trust anybody. And it's kind of actual car stunts by actual car stunt men, which was great. Over the top jazz synth or jazz big band orchestra score with a little synth. And so, but the rap party, I think, with Oliver Reed and Richard Widmark would be incredible.
I don't think he waited to rap.
No. And then we go to 1971, the Richard Burton crime drama Villain. And this was I'm fascinated by Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor movies from the 70s because most of them, except for Equus, are god awful. And this one, he plays Vic Dakin, who is a mobster in modern London, also gay, also living with his mum. And the film also stars young Ian McShane,
yeah.
And a young early role for Joss Ackland, who you guys know is the villain in Lethal Weapon 2.
Oh.
Exactly, that guy. Now, according to the film Villain, there was a love scene that was shot between Burton and McShane, and it was cut. It is alluded to, but you don't see it because nobody wanted. Apparently, the studio got antsy about seeing a scene about Richard Burton doing non-Burton things. It's a decent little crime thriller. It's more of a, you know, it was better than some of the other stuff that he had put out that year, like Radon Rommel and Bluebeard. But yeah, those are out there now. One other one, also a gentleman who knew his way around a pub, George C. Scott.
Mm.
There was a film written by Alan Sharp, who was on Dead People We Like a few weeks ago, called The Last Run from 1971. It's directed by Richard Fleischer, who also directed Soylent Green and Mr. Majestic. But this is kind of the 1971 version of Drive. Only take out Ryan Gosling and put in 40-something George C. Scott. He was married at the time to Colleen Dewhurst, who's also in the film as a prostitute. He has to transport a young mobster thug and his wife, played by Trish Van Devere, who he met on the set and later married. Way to go, George C. Scott.
And firing on all cylinders.
He was. And the cinematographer on this, Sven Nykvist, for you fans of Bergman films. This was one of his first non-Swedish movies as a cinematographer. All right, some words to live by.
Silent Green is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
You can check out Indie Style Monday through Fridays at 9 o'clock on Wish TV down the street. Tracy, you know the door is always open.
I appreciate that. Thank you for keeping it open.
And Foreigner Family, thank you for letting them come out and play. So, all right, go see a good movie. You deserve it. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Drink good stuff and don't be an idiot.
Be safe.
You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
We gone. Good night, Fort Myers.